Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Multiverse Fancast. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe to the channel for more completely mediocre content. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well because we also have from Cinematic Adventures and Your Mom's Diary, Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Just dandy, Paul. I'm really excited for the invite to this episode. Thank you.
Well, actually, fun fact, we recorded an episode of Cinematic Adventures before this, and he just didn't leave the Zoom chat, so it's been
he didn't exit out. It's not my fault.
I just wanted to keep the same thing going. But you're here now, and we're super excited. And in all honesty, Sean was actually very excited to be on this episode because we're going to talk about, I guess, one of his favorite movies? Question mark?
It's a fun movie. I enjoy it very much, but it's not on one of my favorite lists, but it's up there.
I thoroughly enjoy this movie, strangely enough, because it does a lot of great love to the superhero genre, but also likes to parody it. And it has one of my favorite lines of all time, which we're going to get into. But we are talking about Megamind. Now, Megamind is one of those movies that had an okay release, did pretty well, and then has developed quite the cult following in its wake. Also from 2010, so this was 14 years ago for those of you guys keeping track of numbers. Wow. All right, so let's go. Initial thoughts on Megamind. We're gonna go with Ronnie first. Ronnie,
quite a surprise. It's kind of one of those, what are we exactly going to have with this? Because again, it was, like you said, 2010. So it was like right at that pick of big superhero movie time and everything. And you come up with a animated superhero genre movie with a lot more comedy in it than at the time we were used to. But it was quite the surprise. Great casting, great voice acting and everything. Mm-hmm. Overall, beautiful.
Sean?
To tack on what Ronnie just said, it's definitely a good surprise of a movie. It's DreamWorks. It comes at the tail end of the Shrek franchise pretty much ending. Kung Fu Panda, I think, was coming out around the same time. So DreamWorks was trying to, you know, find their way what their next big franchise was going to be. And it also comes out, you know, 2010, we're right at the beginning of the MCU. We're 2 years into the MCU, so it made sense that they were going to spoof, you know, the superhero genre. And I think they do it, hands down, really great job, you know, doing that. And we'll get into a lot of the funny references later on, but very, very fun movie.
Absolutely. All right, so let's run through the cast really quick because the cast is pretty stacked. Like, they do a really good job on this cast. And there were a couple of surprises who were supposed to be in this film but ended up not being. So let's start with the title character, Megamind, played to perfection by Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell, Sean's favorite actor. Sean loves Will Ferrell. If you throw on a Will Ferrell movie, Sean will be there.
Can't wait.
I was about to correct myself. But yeah, Sean is a mixed bag with Will Ferrell. How's that? Is that better?
Mixed bag, but I respect him. I think he is insanely talented, but he plays the same character in every movie. But we could say that about many comedic actors. I mean, Jim Carrey, I'm not going to lie, he plays the same character in most of his movies. I just, for some reason, Will Ferrell's humor was sort of hit and miss with me.
And that's it. It wasn't always your cup of tea as you drink a cup of tea, but Sean's drinking a cup of tea for those of you guys not watching on YouTube. So Will Ferrell comes in and he does, in my opinion, and we'll go through each of you guys on our thoughts on the actual character. Will Ferrell's Megamind is a combination of Lex Luthor and Brainiac, but he's also like, he never gets it right. Like, he's a terrible villain. But you watch the movie and you kind of understand how he got to where he gets. Like, they show the flashbacks and stuff like that. But he basically thinks that he beat his adversary and he finds himself getting bored afterwards. Like, he finally gets what he wants. And he's like, well, this sucks. Which, who can't, like, not relate to that? Like, wanting something so bad and then you actually get it and you're like, oh, I think wanting it was...
What do I do now?
Yeah, what do I do now? It was the chase that was way more fun. But Will Ferrell brings a lot of he brings a lot of likability to the character. He does bring the over the top nature to life, and he's a good choice for that. They originally wanted Robert Downey Jr. as Megamind. They wanted Robert Downey Jr. and then they also wanted Ben Stiller. I think Ben Stiller could have done okay, but Robert Downey Jr. here, like trying to imagine him as Megamind, just does not.
Again, I could be wrong. I don't know if Robert Downey Jr. has ever done any voiceover work that I can remember, but he just, to me, he doesn't have the voiceover kind of sound to his, you know, to him. But
yeah. But I will say one of my favorite, there are two moments in this movie that I love. One is a funny moment that always makes me laugh. And then the other is just the perfect example of the character. So I'll go with the perfect example first. When he goes to confront Titan and he's like, but you're missing the one thing that you need. And he's like, oh yeah, what's that? He's like, and he comes out of like the hologram of himself. And he's like, presentation. Yeah. It's like the perfect example of just Megamind, just over the top, just crazy silly. But the line that always makes me laugh is when they escape from jail at the end and they're leaving. And the warden's like, good luck, boys. And you just hear Will Ferrell go, we're going to die. Like off camera. And Minion's like, wait, what? I don't know why, but just it's the, I always like when something happens off camera. I always think it can be done really funny, but it's just the delivery and just, hey, good luck. We're going to die. Like, I don't know. It just always makes me laugh.
Yeah. Just so, for me at the beginning, when he's reminiscing about his parents and his dad is saying like the important things to him and then his capsule closes and he goes, didn't quite get that part.
Yeah.
That last part. But Sean, what are your thoughts on Will Ferrell's Megamind, the character?
I just think he works perfectly well with what the character is supposed to be, that over-the-top guy that just can never get anything right. I mean, I think it fits Will Ferrell's voice to a T. I actually didn't know. I think the first time I watched it, and I'm like, who is this? Like, the voice just wasn't sounding to me. And I'm like, who is this? And then I find out it's Will Ferrell. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
And does a good job, and he's quite funny. I mean, the character I thought was well done, and he does fine for what it is.
Ronnie?
I agree with Sean. You know, Will Ferrell does a great job with it, because he just has that distinct voice, but he can also change it up a little bit, like Sean was saying. He didn't realize it was him until a little bit further along after him talking. And then you kind of got, you know, the way he talks into it. But yeah, I mean, Megamind is a great character in this. I love the, you know, he was kind of a spoof the whole time on the villains in superhero genres, with always having the same, you know, traps or different things like that, you know, to lure out Metro Man in the beginning. And what's your face? The reporter was like, oh, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. And he's like, how'd you know?
Yeah. And then the spider, just, and then the spider drops down.
The spider. Yeah. What is like, new? Oh, that's new. He's like, yes, it is new.
It is. Spider. I also think that he mispronounces so many things. And that's also everything. What catches him in the end. He's like, there's only one person who calls this place Metrocity.
Yeah.
But there are so many good little things that he says throughout this movie. I love the his Godfather impression of Brando. he's trying to, and he goes like, unfathomable, without fathom. I love it.
Yeah,
because any kid who's watching this movie doesn't get that that's a Brando Brando played Jor-El. I mean, like, that is clearly to us, that is clearly to the true, like, you know, our age, older fans who really know the backstory of Superman and stuff like that.
Well, this movie does a great job at balancing the adult humor and the kid humor. We always say that the best movies are the ones that appeal, like, if you're doing a family-friendly movie, it's something that appeals to the kids, but then there's little things for the parents. When we did our episode of Cinematic Adventures on Quiet on the Set, and we talked about it, it's a very fine line from being just crass and inappropriate in a kid's movie or TV show between being like just something for the, like, Shrek does a really good job with it, you know, where it's like, hey, this is kind of the humor for the adult. Like, they, during the Robin Hood song in Shrek, like, they cut off him wanting to get laid, like, but like all the adults are like, ha, 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 ha. But the kids are like, oh, this is a fun little song and number and all that stuff. So this movie's another good example of doing a really good job at balancing some of the the kid humor, but also things for the adults. And the Jor-El, you know, Space Dad parody is a perfect example. So going down the list, next billing, even though he's barely in the movie, is Brad Pitt as Metro Man. I thoroughly enjoyed Metro Man. I think that making him kind of like they literally make him look like Elvis, including like tassels and stuff like that. And then he goes to his career in music, even though he's really bad at it. I really enjoyed the idea of Metro Man. Like, he's the Superman parody. He's also bored with his life. Like, he's like, it's the same thing every day and every week. And Roxanne's going to get captured and Megamind's going to do this. And like, so he fakes his own death to become a country singer, which is hilarious. And I like Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt brings a lot of gravitas. And the funniest part is when Megamind is pretending to be Metro Man, and it's Brad Pitt being Megamind pretending to be Metro Man. And it's actually, it does a good job, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Even though I would like to point out the fact that Metro Man, when he's disguised as Metro Man, he still has the same voice. But when he's disguised as Bernard, he has his voice. But it's because it's Will Ferrell and he needs to get billing. So I enjoyed Metro Man. Again, he's only in like 15 minutes of the movie total, but he does what he's supposed to do. Ronnie, what are your thoughts on Metro Man?
Yeah, again, like you said, he kind of just served his purpose. It wasn't supposed to be a movie about the superhero winning. It was supposed to be something we haven't really ever seen before, quote unquote, you know, with the villain winning and getting to live on while the superhero dies. So again, he was in it 15 minutes. You know, I think he got second billing just because it's Brad Pitt and he's at the time the second or even the top name on the cast list. So they probably just threw him second billing just to get the people to come because it's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, that's fair. Sean?
Yeah, I agree. Brad Pitt, 2010, big name. So clearly it's like a cameo performance in a way. Yeah. I love that he is, as you said, Paul, he's patterned after Elvis. He looks like Elvis. They turn him into, was he a music man?
Music man.
Yep.
And,
he changed his logo.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, you feel for the guy as well because he's just like, I never asked to be this superhero. It was just kind of, you know, forced on to me. I mean, and it's not what I want to do with my life. And it's just, it's a funny take on it. And I really, again, much like Will Ferrell, I just think his voice works. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing about doing animation. It's like trying to find these voices. Sometimes you just cast on name, but, you know, hopefully the voices actually work with the character. And I think both Ferrell and Brad Pitt, they work with these characters.
And I like their relationship is very unique in terms of, so Metro Man is the complete parody of Superman, like literally sent from a dying planet to come to Earth and be the savior, to the point where he knocks Mega Man's pod out of the way. Or not Mega Man, Mega Minds, excuse me. Somebody in the comments would be like, Mega Man? No. But, and they contrast each other. They both land in the exact same town. It's like if Brainiac landed with Superman, like as babies next to each other.
Yeah. And
it shows the contrast, right? So they show them as kids in the school. And like every time Megamind tries to do something, he messes it up. But every time, you know, Metro Man's there to fix it. And eventually he takes the school away, which is hilarious. He flies away with the school, leaving Megamind there. Oh no, Megamind lands in jail. He literally lands in the jail and they keep him there, but he goes to school. So it's fun to see the two of them contrast. And it's kind of like the Joker and Batman in the Lego Batman movie, where they have like this very different relationship than traditionally, but it's still very entertaining. Yeah. Going down, and if you want to talk about doing really well in 2010, Tina Fey. Tina Fey was everywhere in the early 2000s, and she plays Roxy Ritchie. Because you got to alliterate if it's a comic book movie, alliteration. And she's the parody of Lois Lane. She's the love interest who, you know, she's all about Metro Man, but he's kind of like, I'm just here. I'm just here to do the thing. And I think she does a fine job, Tina Fey and Roxanne's character in the film. Ronnie, what do you think about Roxanne? Not the song, the character.
Oh, man. Well, the song is great, but the character isn't as great as the song, but it's still a good job. Again, she was, like you said, just very Lois Lane, like damsel in distress in a way, but also like knows how to handle herself, because, you know, they allude to it, they talk about it, how, you know, he's the one, Megamind is always capturing her to bring out Metro Man, so she's used to it. That's why you get that little back and forth in the, you know, his lair that he made, you know. So it was fun, it was nice little back and forth between her and Mega Man, and or Mega Mind. So you got to say Mega Man.
Now we're both doing it.
Yeah, between Roxanne and Mega Mind, as well as between her and Hal slash we later know him as Titan.
We're gonna talk about that in a second, but Sean's giggling in the corner, so.
Because I'm thinking of scenes from this movie and I'm laughing. Because really
what scene were you thinking of that's making you laugh?
The opening scene where she gets kidnapped and then she's in the chair and she goes, "Guys, you're both beautiful. All right, can I go home?"
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
She's just like, she's done with it. She's just like, I want no part of the two of you, because it's just going back and forth. But my favorite is after Metro Man supposedly dies and he's in his secret lair, she goes, "Hey, I found Megamind's secret lair." He goes, "How did you find my secret lair? There's a sign here that says Megamind's secret lair."
Oh, yeah, they do some good stuff. Again, this movie's very clever, and the script is so solid, and that it's only made better by the cast that get to play around with it. Because, you know, Will Ferrell is famous for more kind of ad-libbing and stuff, and with animation, it's hard to ad-lib because they have to like. The movie Aladdin, it was famous for, they started to get really frustrated with Robin Williams because they had to keep reanimating all of his different takes. But I love it, and I think it works out well. Now, here's another guy who, if you want to talk about 2010s, you know, Jonah Hill was everywhere in the 2010s. Mm-hmm. And, oh, Sean just rolled his eyes so hard. I like Jonah Hill. I think there was a little bit too much Jonah Hill at one point, but I think I'll give Jonah Hill his kudos as an actor. He's an Academy. Did he win an Academy Award? He was just nominated.
He was nominated. No, he's a fine actor. He's really built himself into a really good actor. I just can't stand him. Like, he just is one of those guys for some reason.
I love him in.
He's a Will Ferrell for you.
Yeah, there you go. I like Will Ferrell more than I like Jonah Hill. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow, big statement. But I really like Jonah Hill in This Is the End, where he plays like he plays himself, but he's super kind and just a sweet person and just like the nicest guy. And it's funny. But in this movie, he's playing Hal Stewart, which is a fun parody of Hal Jordan and John Stewart. And he's the cameraman who's in love with Roxy, who accidentally gets hit with the DNA from Metro Man, which sounds really inappropriate when I say it in that regard. gross. But
he got shot with it.
Yeah, he got right. Doesn't he get shot right in the nose?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
The pellet goes like up his nose or something like that.
If it was Metro Man's DNA, wouldn't it like have like impaled him and like gone through him?
All right, that's a Clerks conversation, and we're not that R-rated at this point in our lives. But no, Megamind puts it in a capsule, and shut up, Sean. So
he gets a tin, and it just, you know, his head will blow up.
Gross. For those of you guys who don't know what we're talking about, please watch the movie Mallrats, and let us know what you think in the comments below about how that situation would happen. Yeah. Anyway, so I do like how he was supposed to be called Titan, like T-I-T-A-N, but they misspelled it because it's Megamind. What does he say? Olo instead of Ola?
Olo, yeah.
Olo. But Olo. It's, again, we didn't even address the fact that the movie actually starts with the shot from the end where he's falling and to like, which is great. But Jonah Hill's there. He does what he's supposed to. And he's there to be annoying. He's there to be like, not everybody. Again, this movie does a good job at being like, hey, just because you're supposed to do this thing doesn't mean you have to do this thing. Or just because you seem like the best person for it doesn't mean you are the best person for it. And it's a lot of nurture versus nature and stuff like that. It's a surprisingly deep movie. But basically, Titan gets these powers and he becomes an even worse supervillain than Megamind.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where he like does pretty much kind of take over the whole town afterwards. But whatever.
He does as much damage as Superman and Zod, the Man of Steel.
All right, you keep jumping at Man of Steel and all that.
I'm jumping at it. I'm just saying, you know, Godzilla got, you know, a hero's welcome, and, you know, Superman got screwed there.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Did you really just how it should have ended me right now? That's a solid reference. That is a solid reference. For those of you guys who don't know, How It Should Have Ended is a great series on YouTube where it shows how these movies should have ended, and that was one how Godzilla should have ended was he destroys the entire city, gets lauded as a hero, and Superman's like, what the hell? But anyway, what are our thoughts on the character of Titan, though? Let's go Sean first.
I mean, you guys said it, you said it pretty much. He's Jonah Hill's character is he's just that annoying, you know, friend who wants to be liked by Roxanne Ritchie. And I'm not gonna lie, you feel for the guy, you know, you do feel for him. And then when he gets these powers and he's like got he's confident and all that, and she still rejects him. I mean, I get it, you're pissed, but he just becomes, you know, an absolute maniac. And yeah, and then he ends up getting the stuff taken out of him and he ends up in jail. You know, so that happens.
Yeah. I mean, you guys said it all. Again, it's, you know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of, wow, I'm drawing a complete blank right now. Michael Cera's character in, wow, I can't think right now. I had all this time to think and I can't even think. Well, this sucks.
Not editing this
what was
out.
The movie they did together?
Superbad.
Yes. Yes. There we go. Yeah. Hal Stewart kind of reminds me of Michael Cera's character where he's like, he wants like the girl, you know, the it girl or whatever, but he's just this little nerd kind of guy. That's kind of what this reminded me of, you know? And then obviously he gets powers and uses them for all the wrong reasons, like you guys said, instead of using it for good. Because again, Megamind created, you know, Titan to become a hero. So Megamind had someone to fight and go up against, but he still does, but in the opposite way.
Moving down the list, we have David Cross as Minion. Minion's a fun character. He's, you know, the fish best, the genetically altered fish best friend. I like how his costume also keeps changing. And like at first he's got like a little tiny body, then he's got the gorilla robot body, and at the end he's got the giant exosuit. Come on, Paul. But he's the voice of reason. He's Mega Man's big. I keep doing Mega Man. It's Megamind.
Jesus, Paul.
Come on, Paul. Come on. But he's fun, and David Cross does a really good job as Minion. So, any additional thoughts on Minion? Because we only have two more characters after this.
I love David Cross. I think David Cross is hysterical. So like the back and forth between him and Will Ferrell, I think is just so good in this movie.
Ronnie?
Yeah. No, you guys pretty much said it all. He's there. He's like you said, voice of reasoning. He kind of knows everything's going to fail like all the time because he's used to it. So like in the beginning, you know, we keep bringing up like kind of like the opening kind of scene, even though it was kind of like 10 minutes in, but you know, when they're captured or whatever, and he's just agreeing with Roxy the whole time.
Yeah.
I think it's great. You know, he's used to being, you know, on the losing end of stuff, which is, that is a good quote. Like you said, it's like deep at sometimes this movie, but it's also funny. There's the quote where they're talking about being a loser. And Megamind's like, you know what? It's good to be a loser because you learn like what to do in the future to get better, or something along those lines, or whatever. Which is, you know, kind of a cool thing. Again, this is like a kids movie, but also can be for adults.
It's a family film, and there is a distinction, right? Kids films are strictly for kids. Like those are your rare G movies, because it's hard to find a G movie anymore. This is one of those movies that it is a family oriented. The idea is you want to get like the Timmy and his older brother want to both watch these movies, and then the parents want to watch these movies. Like that's the kind of mentality that they want to go for, because you're most movies, their target audience 13 to 18 demographic, like that's the big one, and then like you go down. This movie does a great job of kind of catching every demographic, and that's why I think people really liked it. And also, the superhero boom hit hard after this. And even though we're kind of in the downswing of that superhero boom with, you know, diminishing quality and stuff like that, with the exception of X-Men 97, if you guys are not watching X-Men 97, Sean, make sure you watch X-Men 97. It's awesome. But this movie, I think, is being looked at in a different light now because it is, again, a perfect love letter to superhero movies. And at that time, the idea of the supervillain being the hero, untouched in a lot of movies. So the last person on, or the last two people on this list, they are very small roles. J.K. Simmons plays the warden, and this the three or four scenes that he's in do well. J.K. Simmons is one of the best voice actors. I love hearing him do voice over roles. And then Ben Stiller as Bernard, the museum curator who Megamind.
I didn't know that was Ben Stiller for a long time.
They only have like one or two lines. Like,
well, it's just, yeah, when you first meet him before he gets, you know, whatever Megamind does to him, because he's got that like, ow, ow.
Yeah, we never find out what happens to him. I hope he's okay. But this movie comes out.
Never find out what happens to
him. Never find out what happens to him. Movie comes out. It had a budget of $130 million, and it took in $321.9 million. So it did really well.
Can I say, it says here it was the sixth highest grossing animated movie in 2010, mm-hmm. behind Toy Story 3, which did over $1 billion, Shrek Forever After, which did $750 million, Tangled, Despicable Me, and How to Train Your Dragon. So all of those movies all came out in the same year.
Interesting. So
how many How to Train Your Dragon movies have we gotten since?
You guys both started talking at the same time, so I didn't hear either. Ronnie, say what you
I was saying. That was a big, big year for animated movies.
Yeah, big year. And then were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, like, I mean, we got how many sequels to Despicable Me? We got how many sequels to Train the Dragon? But for some reason, this movie just either the studio just felt like it was a one-off, or either they just couldn't come up with an idea. But obviously, we know now that they have come up with a sequel idea. But
all right, so ready? After this movie came out, I did not know this. This is new for me. They did a computer animated short film the following year in 2011. So there was a follow-up to it called Megamind, The Button of Doom, where basically an AI program that has all of Megamind's evil, like puts itself into a suit of armor or something that calls itself Mega Megamind, which I could not say. I'm lucky I didn't say Mega Mega Man. But yeah, so they did have a little something, and Will Ferrell and David Cross did come back for their respective roles, but it came out February 25th, 2011. It had its television premiere on Nickelodeon and on Cartoon Network. So it had that follow-up, but on February 11, 2022, they announced that Peacock ordered a CG animated series from DreamWorks Animated Television to be a follow-up to the film. And originally it was titled Megamind's Guide to Defending Your City. And the series was the hero's new quest to become a social media influencer and a true superhero. Stupid already. I'm so mad. Okay. So it got released, and they also released the series, now titled Megamind Rules, and both have not been met with the most of acclaim because, unfortunately, like, they didn't get any of the voice actors back, which is always rough. They got Keith Ferguson plays Megamind, and he's way more of a voice actor. He doesn't do a whole lot of live action. Let's see. I'm trying to think of, he was in nothing that I could really tell you about. That's unfortunate. But yeah, so it goes to show that sometimes doing follow-ups are not, especially if you're not going to get the original cast back, just not always going to work out in your favor. But let's talk, because we haven't seen any of this stuff. We've only seen Megaminds, correct? Anybody jumping in?
Nope.
No, you're right.
See, I love how both Ronnie and Sean know well enough now that they both shook their heads but also still talked. In case you guys are listening on the podcast, I wouldn't have had to, you know, say it. I just said it now for comedic effect. Anyway, let's do us. So Ronnie's off the show, just so you guys know. But let's do Star City ratings for, in this case, let's do Metrocity City ratings, or for Megamind. I'm going to give this movie a 4. It is solid. If it's ever on, I will throw it on. It is definitely a movie that is like the best parts of superhero culture and superhero fandom, but also at the same time, it's super clever and super funny. Ronnie?
I'm going to give it a 4 as well. You know, it just hits all the beats, you know. The parody and that it does with superhero films, but also not relying on it too much, is a good thing. And then again, I think the casting for this was really good. I mean, it's I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, unlike Sean. You know, I'm a big Jonah Hill fan, unlike Sean. but even like Brad Pitt, even though he's only in it for like 5 minutes, you know, it's
I'm
still
a Brad Pitt
Brad
fan,
Pitt.
Ronnie. How about that?
It did a good job with casting. And like I said, the animation, I just love the way DreamWorks does animation. I think they're probably the best in the game, because everything they do is right on point. But yeah, overall, I give this movie a 4.
All right, Sean?
I'm going to give it a 4 as well. It really has turned into one of those movies. If I find it playing somewhere, you know, I'll sit down and I'll watch it for a little while. I love the storyline is great. The characters are great. Voice acting is superb. The music in the movie is great. I mean, the choices of songs are just hilarious at some points. It really has become one of those enjoyable treats that, you know, I may not sit through the whole movie, but, you know, I'll catch a scene here, a scene there, you know, and I laugh. I mean, it does not fail, as you will see on this video. I laugh throughout this movie. It is one of those good, good laugh films.
I'm going to edit every shot of you smiling and laughing out, and nobody will
that's
ever
fine.
Know.
I'll never know.
Yeah, they'll never know. But that's my evil plan. That's like, just like how Mega Man had like the most mundane evil plans, that's mine. Edit Sean out so nobody knows he's smiling.
Mwahaha.
Mwahaha, indeed.
Or you just edit the episode that says I like Will Ferrell all the time.
It's just a really bad dub each time. Just like Sean's like talking.
I love Will Ferrell.
I love Lamp. Anyway, so we want to hear what you guys have to say. So make sure you guys leave a comment down below, whether you're listening on the go or you're watching on YouTube. Leave a comment. Let us know what your thoughts are on Megamind, where it stands. If you've seen any of the sequel stuff, also let us know what your thoughts are, because obviously we can't offer an opinion because we have not seen them. But if you guys are looking for more of our content, make sure you guys check out our website, themisfitfaction.com. We're also on all the social media. Normally we do Fan Feedback Friday, but A, at time of recording, Facebook's not working for some stupid reason. B, this week's Fan Feedback Friday is a little bit more interactive, so it's a lot of different answers. So make sure you guys check that out every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, usually sometimes almost all the time. We have Fan Feedback Friday, so make sure you guys check it out. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all those different social medias, so make sure you guys take a peek there. And always like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. It really helps the show. But I think that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Ronnie.
And I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys, or excuse me, we'll be back in a flash.
Yeah.
I'm struggling.